Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
All right. You know, it feels a little awkward not doing this since Monday. You know, maybe I got used to the WrestleMania schedule, but I am back tonight. Good evening, everybody. Q&A with yours truly. I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. I want to give a special thank you to all of our channel members here. I know a lot of you out there who are not channel members now have access to the video stream live and on replay, and that was permission from the family out there. We figured, why not allow everybody to tune in? Of course, the live chat is exclusive for our channel members. They will be the ones sending in questions later on. We do have a few important topics to get into. We have to talk about the Nash Carter situation. Remember, hashtag, I don't want to be first, I want to be right. We will talk about Nash Carter and what's going on in WWE. We will talk about Tammy Sitch. We knew it. You saw it a mile away, and it has happened. I hate to say this, she's done. She's done, and we'll talk about that. Because the legal troubles, I don't think anybody even has a clue. And it's not just what you read on TMZ. If you follow the story going forward, you know, you realize this is just something totally different. So, Grapple Vision, happy anniversary, my friend. 11 months as a channel member. And yes, we're almost at 30,000 over here. I mean, it's cool. Because a lot of you out here do access the audio-only version of the shows. I mean, unless I really need to show something on video, there's no reason to eat up the data. And who the hell wants to look at my ugly face for an entire show? So if you access the audio-only, but on occasion you check out the video, props to you. I think with the Nash Carter story, you definitely want to check out a little bit of video over here because some people online, I don't know if it's because of, you know, trying to be politically correct or maybe trying to defend Nash Carter, or maybe they're just afraid of getting backlash for showing a full picture of what we talked about yesterday as the likely reason why he is in the outs with WWE. Liam Savage, happy 5-month anniversary. And Jim Gonzalez, welcome to La Nostra Familia. Hope everybody's having a good night. You know, I feel a little rested after WrestleMania. And you know what? Props to all of you out there that just really, you know, one thing we all have in common, we're all wrestling fans. Some of you might be more into, you know, the AEW, New Japan, Ring of Honor style. Some others may be more of the sports entertainment style. Whatever style or form of wrestling you love, that's all that matters. There isn't one that is better than the other. And don't ever let anybody tell you that. Sami Zayn tonight, Sami Zayn posted a tweet calling his match with Johnny Knoxville, not being in character, that son of a bitch and all those jackasses, look what they did to me. No. He called it one of his favorite matches of his career. And he goes on to explain that he has had some awesome matches in his career. But just the publicity and the exposure and the fun that they had, he says, one of the favorites of his entire career. I loved it. Do I want to see it every week? No. Do I want to see it every month? Hell no. But there isn't one size fits all. And I think that's probably why AEW's kind of rubbed me the wrong way the last couple of weeks. And let me make this clear. I want to throw this out there right away. I know a few of you out there were a little upset that I didn't do a Wednesday night Dynamite yesterday. Will I still cover AEW? Absolutely. There's some awesome wrestling going on. FTR and the Young Bucks killed it last night. Samoa Joe making his return to the ring. It was fun. It was fun. Of course I'm going to cover that stuff. You know, but the thing is that when you do 5-6 shows a week, you know, you don't want, it's not me getting burned out. I don't want any of you to get burned out there. And I think there is no reason why we have to recap every minute of wrestling as soon as it goes off the air. Because on Wednesday night, every podcast and their mother are doing recaps of AEW. Why can't we just talk about it on a Thursday night? Why does it have to be Wednesday at 10 or nothing? So that's why I decided to bleed it into here today. And I have a few things to say about yesterday, absolutely. But as far as, you know, staying up 1, 2 a.m. for AEW, when, number one, you ask for a little here and there. I don't want no hand jobs. I don't want no publicity. I don't want no public props. But, you know, when you feel like you're getting, you know, like, intentionally ignored. No, man, it's about respect. There's a respect factor. And I see, you know, a lot of disrespect out there. I just saw, I think it was Dax that said it, saying anybody who feels that the AEW roster is bloated is a fool. Do you see what is building in AEW? Taya Conti, yeah, she's trying to build her character as a heel. But on social media, be mad, thrown it in people's faces. Guevara, thrown it in people's faces, even though I absolutely love Guevara. You have now a member of the FTR calling fans fools for having an opinion. You have, obviously, that toxic element, not all AEW fans, but that toxic element that if you dare try to like both, or if you just say, look, you know, what am I missing here in AEW? You're lambasted. That writer for Wrestling Observer had no idea about CM Punk's Ring of Honor music, and CM Punk calls him an idiot. And thousands of people jump in on that. You have Tony Khan that calls fans haters and trolls. You know, I could just go on and on and on. And now Brody King with that absolutely disrespectful tweet on Monday. All right. Even if Edge and Damian Priest were a ripoff of the House of Black, you think the House of Black is original? It's not original. You know, and to see that shade thrown at Edge, you know, it's just like there's a culture, there's an environment now. Listen, this is not ECW 1993, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 2000. I was a fan since 93. I had the privilege to work pushing tickets for ECW for a little over a year. And I could tell you, going to the ECW arena in the mid-90s, going to the Elks Lodge, hanging out with Philly, hardcore Philly guys, and being a New Yorker, going to the ECW arena, and if you thought AEW smelled when they were in Forest Hills, Queens, trust me, ECW, the monthly tradition is to go outside after Tommy Dreamer and Brian Lee or Raven, they brawl through the crowd. And then you go outside for a little smoke. Nobody went outside to smoke. They went outside to go, the body odor, the smell, the sweat. There's no circulation there. Oh, my God. Thank God. Thank God World Class was not in our era. Forget it. If you ever stood in the World Class building during an event, you got to ask old-time wrestlers who wrestled for World Class, the Sportatorium. Ask them, what was it like to wrestle in that building in 95-degree heat? So there is this culture, this environment going on, and I said it for 3 years. Not only is AEW going to be the first millennial promotion, I said that 3 years ago, but I also said Tony Khan's, his perfect dream promotion is a combination of Ring of Honor and ECW. I said that almost 3 years ago as well. The difference is, back in ECW, you wanted to experience the difference. It's not for everyone, But if you wanted to experience it, even if your preference was Raw, Nitro, whatever you liked, come on in. Come on in. Join. The water is warm. It might smell like armpits, but the water is warm. Everybody had a blast. People weren't belittled. And this culture in AEW is about insult, intimidation, putting people down. If you don't know every Easter egg, if you don't do this, if you have an opinion about this, is this and that. And I'm telling you, it's rubbing people the wrong way. It's certainly rubbing me the wrong way. Samoa Joe, he had his debut. How did the ratings do? 989. 10,000 viewers more than last week. Not the big jump that everybody expected. You know, so AEW's got a big problem with a culture. Because you look at WrestleMania week, and I'm not one that likes to compare WWE and AEW. But if you look at the culture of WWE, you look at the culture of AEW. AEW, there is this deep animosity. Look at Jade Cargill with her baddie section. All right? That's cool and everything. The problem is you have AEW heels. And if you remember early on, I thought AEW heels, and I still feel it's a beautiful thing. I remember posting a screenshot here of a gathering of AEW heels, and there was every shape, every size. You had every nationality. I mean, if you want to be superficial, you had beautiful women, you had ugly women, you have, you know, just people in the middle. But everybody just, look, how many people do you come across on social media that can't show you a picture of them, their 2022 face? They have to show you their child picture, their school picture, a fake picture, a picture from 20 years ago. You know, changing the shades and the colors to make it look like it's 2022, but it's really like 1992. You know, people do that. In AEW with the heels, everybody felt comfortable to just come out and talk and speak their minds. And now you got Jade Cargill, and you got some of those same AEW heels women. Hey, I want to be a member of the baddies. Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, ew! You think I'm exaggerating? Open your eyes. Open your eyes. There is a culture developing in AEW that people are not, you know, it's about a vibe. It's an environment. It's not a family atmosphere like it used to. If you're not part of the in crowd on social media, especially when it comes to journalists and podcasts and this and that, you're outed, ignored, insulted, slighted. And that's not a good thing to do. And the problem is, you know, I like Tony Khan, but I think Tony Khan many times acts like a petulant child as well. And when you have that kind of money, you could do whatever the hell you want. Just like WWE in a billion-dollar corporation. You don't like that they release 70 people? They could do whatever the hell they want. At the end of the day, these people could do. Look, even Tony Khan, didn't he just make a comment saying that Matt Jackson and Chris Jericho were the main two people that cared about AEW from the start? Like, why would you even say something like that? So I'm telling you, that's a big problem. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. So VJ, happy 1 year anniversary. Wow, a lot of anniversaries today. The villain, welcome to La Nostra Familia, and happy 15-month anniversary, Roger Rubio. Wow, we've been doing the video that long? Shit. All right, what do you want to talk about first? Nash Carter or Tammy Sitch? It's a chat room, rapido. Nash Carter, just type Nash or Tammy. Just tell me, and then we'll get into whichever one first, because we have a few, both topics, we got more to talk about than anyone else has out there. All right, we got a couple of votes for Tammy. We got Nash. Okay, a lot of Tammy. All right, so let's talk about Tammy first. All right. It's obviously not a funny thing. I'm not trying to portray something that is not. All I know is that if I was Tammy Sitch right now, with the emotional problems that she is going through that led up to what happened 2 weeks ago, this is a message from me to some of her closest friends out there, and I am friends with some of her closest friends. Please, as a human being, look out for her a little bit extra, because if that was me, I'd be on suicide watch right now. I'm not kidding. Because what a lot of people don't understand, now, I hear me out before you get rattled over this. I'm an insurance agent. I have a license in Florida to sell insurance. I have a license in New York, a few states to sell insurance. And every state is obviously a little bit different with their laws. But the thing is, what has been going on with her, DUIs? You know, it was something that I brought up yesterday on Patreon that not one person brought up online. And even though we have put the facts out there, and even though we have done the research, you know, no one will cite us because we're not in with the cool kids, which is cool. That's fine, because I do this for you. I don't do this for them. But the one thing that everybody omitted the last day or two is that Tammy Sitch has no driver's license. Tammy Sitch has no insurance. Tammy Sitch has no registration. Now, the vehicle that she was driving in Florida, the Mercedes, I don't know who it is registered to. Now, I do have the accident report. I have it in my office. I haven't had a chance to really go through it yet. I know TMZ posted a little bit. Florida news station post the first two sheets, you know, left out all the personal information, obviously. But, you know, I could easily run the VIN and then figure out who it's registered to. I don't know if it's a rental, but the thing that a lot of people need to understand that in Florida, Florida's computers are not linked to New York's DMV computers unless there's a warrant, unless there's something, you know, additional going on. So Tammy Sitch going to Florida, and if she had a Jersey license, PA license, I don't remember which state she had a driver's license for, when the accident took place, you know, they can't just simply just take the license, put it in a computer, and a big red flag comes up, you know, revoked, 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 suspended, whatever it was. So if you notice, no one has brought up the fact that Tammy Sitch should not have been in that vehicle in the first place. You know, look, accidents happen. And this is not a defense to her. Accidents happen. A lot of people have gotten into accidents rear-ending other cars. For those that don't know this story, Tammy Sitch was in Florida, March 25th. She was on, I wrote down the highway, U.S. Highway 1 in Volusia County, Ormond Beach. And she was not paying attention, obviously. Now, keep in mind, it was dusk. Any of you out there have ever driven in dusk, you can be blinded by the sun. I'm not making excuses for her. I'm just telling you all the details that I know, some that have not been released online. It was dusk, and dusk is one of the most dangerous times to drive. It is one of the most dangerous times to drive and be distracted. Now, I don't know if she was text messaging. I don't know if the sun glaring blinded her, but there was two vehicles stopped at a red light. There was a Kia, and then there was another vehicle in front of a Kia. And it's scary because I have a 2013 Kia, and the vehicle that was rear-ended is a 2013 Kia. You've seen my Kia. I have the same exact vehicle. I don't know if the 75-year-old driver in the Kia had a seatbelt on, but Tammy Sitch driving at what is estimated around 50 to 60 miles an hour did not see the two vehicles at the red light. She plowed right into the Kia, rear-ended the Kia. The Kia then proceeded to hit the vehicle in front of them. So it's just the whiplash hitting your head, probably. The driver of the Kia passed away. 75-year-old man passed away. Obviously, tragic. Tammy also injured. She was brought to the hospital, treated for her injuries, released. Released. Now, again, We don't know whose vehicle Tammy was driving. But as far as I know, and I will do some additional research tomorrow, she has no driver's license. She doesn't even have a temporary license where she could just go to work or go to a store. Sometimes you could get a restricted license. Even if she had a restricted license, it doesn't lead to another state. So she rear-ends this vehicle, and she goes to the hospital, released, and now they believe she was under the influence. And number one, if she got a rental, you know, even if she purchased the optional insurance, you know, I don't know if insurance would even cover it, the liability aspect, because Tammy said shouldn't have been behind the wheel in the first place. If she borrowed a friend's vehicle, see, the problem with Tammy, she's a public figure, and it's pretty much common knowledge her license was taken away. If you give your vehicle to someone else to use and you know that they are not licensed, your insurance company can deny a claim. So the thing is that if you put aside the drinking stuff for a minute, the family of this 75-year-old man is obviously going to sue Tammy Sitch. Whoever owned the vehicle, they're going to sue as well. So there's your lawsuits right there. And believe me, you kill someone, you're talking millions of dollars. So Tammy Sitch has that. But on top of it, vehicular manslaughter. If she was 0.08 or above, that turns into vehicular manslaughter. And that is crazy jail time, especially when you realize she's been arrested 5-6 times for DUIs. She's been arrested for threatening to kill, you know, her ex-boyfriend. So, look, I don't wish this shit on anybody. And you know me, I have defended Tammy Sitch many times over the years. You know, my interactions with Tammy going back to when Chris Candido was still alive have always been pleasant. I'm friends with some of her friends that say, look, you know, she's not as bad of a person as people think that she is. But we just said 2 months ago that Tammy Sitch was one tragedy away from just totally destroying her life. Even if it comes back that she wasn't drinking, not having a license, likely not having insurance, not being covered, being sued, and whatever else. Speeding, not paying attention. I don't know how they could possibly look, if you get, you know, blindsided from dusk and you don't see the red light, it's an accident. You know, it's a tragic accident. You don't get summoned for that. But, and this is US Highway 1, and the speed limit, I believe, is either 55 or 65. So, you know, we can't accuse her of speeding. But nonetheless, I mean, being sued in itself is just, you know, it's going to totally wipe her out. And then the fact that with all the driving privileges that, you know, tomorrow I'll have the answer. Tomorrow I will have the answer, and I'll update you all on Saturday. But, man, I don't wish that on anybody, because what she's facing, if she was drinking, that's going to turn into criminal. And I know that she's gotten a lot of extra chances, and a lot of people feel that she's gotten some preferential treatment because of her celebrity status. Believe me when I tell you, as screwed up as Florida is with some of their laws, traffic as well, this one she's not going to be able to get out of. And, you know, look, let me just say one last thing. I was talking to Mish about this yesterday because Mish was doing some research also, and everywhere he looked, 6 to 8 weeks to get the blood results back. And he said, you know, why does it take so long? And I pointed out, any of you out there ever had to get drug tested for a job? Or you go to your doctor and you get blood work done and they tell you pee in a cup? you know, and you pee in a cup, and then 2-3 days later, your doctor calls, hey, we got your results. You know, you got a little extra triglycerides, you got a little of this, you got a little of that. Wait a minute. How do you get your results for everything in 3 days? But with the situation with Tammy, it could be 6 to 8 weeks. Number one, it's not going to be 6 to 8 weeks. I expect by next week, you should hear some pertinent update on this. The reason why it does take a lot longer is because of a lot of steps that have to be taken. You know, now you're talking about court and then a warrant, then it has to be tested, then it has to be tested again, and then it has to be some type of, you know, notarized certification as far as what the results were. Then it goes back to the court. Then it goes to the police. Then it goes to this. There's so many additional steps. It's a lot of paperwork. That's the reason why when you hear on the news that it could take weeks, it's, you know, our technology in 2022, they could figure out in a day what she had in her system. But when it comes to something especially as serious as this, where somebody died and you're talking about likely decades in jail, they want to make sure that they get every specific point, not only correct, but so it can't be thrown out in court. I don't know what to say. I truly feel bad for her because, you know, especially her age. I'm in my 50s now. You know, me, I could never do an OnlyFans. I could never sit at home, you know, make that kind of money and still have people revering, you know, me for like that. The fact that she's older and she could still, you know, in the luxury of her home and make that kind of coin and, you know, go to conventions and reunions and spending time with family and friends and this, this, and that. She had it made. And she not only blew it, but she totally destroyed not only her life, but she also destroyed the family of that unfortunate man that died in the car accident. Terrible. Terrible. VJ is asking, don't I think she would learn from the first DUI? Look, man. You know, I've always said alcoholism is a disease. Drug addiction is a disease, you know, and I know it's very easy to just write it off like, oh, she's gotten so many chances. Look, when you become dependent on drugs and alcohol, it takes over you. It takes over you. I mean, when you hear about, look at Kerry Von Erich. I was talking to somebody last week about Kerry Von Erich. You know, he was so addicted to painkillers that he was so desperate to get pain medicine that he wrote up phony prescriptions, you know, and sent them to pharmacies. And just think, this is back in the 80s, you know, where technology was a lot different than it is now. You know, when someone gets an addiction, whether it's alcohol, drugs, even food, it takes over. I had a horrible food addiction. I don't think I have the pictures handy. I don't know if all of you out there have ever seen it. I'll see if I could find one quick. Probably not going to be able to. But I was 365 pounds, everybody. 365. For me, I had more fun having a giant thing of food in my house and spending time with food than I would with my family or my friends or anyone else. I mean, look, my food addiction ended about 10 years ago, but, you know, I don't have the pictures in front of me. I apologize. But, you know, and I never made those pictures public until last year because I thought, okay, maybe it'll help somebody out there that may be going through something similar. Checking one more place, but I don't think, let's see, I'm checking my personal pictures. Okay, I did find something. Okay, I'll show you one right here, you know, and I'm not making this about me, but I'm just showing, look, there's my food addiction. That's me about 10 years ago on the left, and that's me, what, 4 years ago, and that's me like a year after that, and I'll show you one more picture because I think I got a side view. All right, if you, yeah, check out this side view. Yeah, look at this. That's me 10 years ago. I had a very, very horrible food addiction. I would go out with my friends, and all I would think about in the back of my mind is, what am I going to order and go home? I would leave parties early. I would leave weddings early. I would pass up going on dates. I'd rather just go to the diner, get a crazy amount of food, Chinese food, pizza, and just sit home. I would have been, and this was way before keto. I've only been on keto for 3 years. It's just, I found some emotional comfort with food. And I still battle here and there. But, addictions take over your body, man. And that's not a cop-out for Tammy or for anyone else. But when you chemically become dependent on something, you lose control. You lose control. And, man, totally, totally horrible. Thank you for the compliments. I didn't do that for compliments, believe me. I still got it. and that's not, you still got it. Yeah, I still got it. I have tits. No, I'm not showing you my tits. Okay, let's talk about Nash Carter. For all of you out there, if you notice in the title of tonight's show, I put a question mark after WWE fires current NXT champion. I put a question mark because I know people online, they write something and everybody flocks, to be the first to try to get as much attention as they can to their podcast or their website, but I know WWE is not lately been posting, WWE has come to terms on a release of blah, 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 blah. We wish them best in their future endeavors. You don't see it as much anymore. They release someone. And then if that person wants a reporter, they tell a friend and so on and so on, and then it goes online. I sound like a shampoo commercial. But thing is that WWE still has Nash Carter on their website. They're still advertising MSK for a tag match next week. So do I think Nash Carter is done with WWE right now? Yeah, most likely. Right now it's probably just technical semantics, but until I actually see that match is scrapped, until I see him taken off of WWE.com, I am not going to jump the gun and say he was fired because of this. He was released because of this. I wrote this yesterday on social media, and it got no attention, and I expected that because, let's be honest, social media, if you make too much common sense, that's not what people want. They either want to fry Nash Carter or they want to defend Nash Carter to the moon. It's either one or the other. You can't make sense out of it. What I wrote is this yesterday. For those that don't know, he's married to Impact wrestler Kimberly. And their marriage is done. There's been a lot of issues, and she revealed pictures of a bloody lip from a year ago, swollen lip. Apparently Nash Carter has been abusive to her, and there is a lot of issues there. Nash Carter has been staying with his tag partner, Wesley, and his, I'm assuming, wife. I'm assuming Wesley is married. And she, Wesley's wife, is defending Nash Carter to the moon. No, everyone, you have no idea what's going on. This is manipulative. She's thrown all this on Kimberly. And I get it. Me Too and everything like that. But I also said years ago that in any movement, Black Lives Matter, Me Too, whatever you want to put out there, there's always going to be people that are going to exploit it because they know that they can get false sympathy their way. I don't know if Nash Carter ever physically abused Kimberly. I don't know if Kimberly is trying to ruin Nash Carter's career because of this divorce. He apparently filed for divorce. I heard that he was looking into an order of protection, which a lot of you, I'm sure, never heard that before. So there is a back and forth there. And what I wrote yesterday is the only people that know what actually happened physically with Kimberly and Nash Carter are Kimberly and Nash Carter and anyone who may have been present at the time if an incident occurred. I don't know. None of the podcasters know. None of the websites know. If they weren't there, they don't know. There is her version, his version, and somewhere the truth. So I am not going to be one here to judge Nash Carter as an abuser or judge Mike. Let me get to that because we talked about that yesterday. Let me get to it. I'm not going to judge Nash Carter as an abuser or Kimberly as maniacal, you know, making up stories, because we don't know the truth. We will never know the truth unless there is actual video footage. Look, I said yesterday, Kimberly could have gotten accidentally stiffed in the ring having a women's match a year ago and took a picture of herself. Oh, look, I will say this. I will say this, and this is not throwing shade on Kimberly. Any of you out there that saw the photos that came out in the last day or two, one thing that I said yesterday, and I think each and every one of you out there will agree completely on this. If I was dating, engaged, or married to someone who took pictures of me in compromising positions and kept it for a rainy day, that's someone I fucking don't want to be anywhere near. We, all of us, we're no angels. None of us are angels out there. We have said stupid things in private life, maybe imitated things. Hey, look, what do I look like? And to keep this in the bag for if things don't go well, boom, 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 boom. Who the fuck wants to be in a relationship like that? The fact that that stuff is just stored for a rainy day just gives you an idea on how horrendous that relationship is between Nash Carter and Kimberly. That is now, yesterday, when I did the Patreon show, a lot of people asked, why do I think Nash Carter was let go if he was let go? Again, not 100%, but it looks like it. And for me, it was a no-brainer. And I found it interesting because yesterday, everybody ran with the Kimberly stuff as a reason. But for me, it was instant. Now, the interesting thing about it, I don't know if you have noticed this, but this is the picture that everybody seems to be going with online. Okay, Nash Carter, obviously the picture is dated. You could see by the length of his hair. But you see his palm. And, you know, it just, a lot of people had it trimmed down like that, I think, in defense of Nash Carter. You know, I know a lot of people immediately tried to compare it to Enzo Amore. It ain't fucking nothing like Enzo Amore. It ain't nothing like Enzo Amore. Enzo Amore was accused of rape. And he also had a crazy party lifestyle. He was posting publicly, hey, now this isn't word for word from Enzo, but didn't Enzo back in the day when he was with WWE, hey, any fucking rats going to be in Cincinnati? Anybody going to be at the fucking Hilton? Hey, you want to come around and I give you a little bit of Enzo Amore, if you know what I mean? Eh? That's not my Enzo impersonation. Enzo's entire lifestyle is what cost Enzo his career. I disagree. Enzo should have never been fired, in my opinion. I always believe you are innocent until proven guilty, and I have always defended Enzo. But just because you see a couple of pictures, don't immediately think that that is the only story. You think that WWE only saw what we saw? There's probably so much more to this story that we have no clue that has been even further talked about with WWE. So when everybody runs and uses the Enzo thing, that is just, you know, it's like, it's sensationalism. It catches your eye. Oh, look, they fucking pulled an Enzo. That's not the case. Now, you see that picture? All right. He looks a little bit like Hitler. But, yeah, you know, it's, yeah, it kind of looks like it. Well, you know, I don't know why fucking people were petrified, but this is the actual picture. Yeah, there's a lot more of the hand that, for some reason, people just cut out. I don't know if they were afraid they were going to be flagged or they just wanted to be politically correct about it or be soft. Wow, look, an Enzo pun. S-A-W-F-T. Soft. Listen, I have, a lot of you don't know this, and I'm not proud of it, but I am always transparent. Back in the early 80s, when I was a preteen, my favorite rap group was Run DMC. And in 1983 or 1984 for Halloween, I dressed as Run DMC. I put on the black t-shirt. I had the white sneakers, the black Lee jeans, and I put black makeup on my face. And I went as Run DMC. Was I trying to be racist? No. I was trying to portray Run DMC. In 1984, at that time, nobody at the Halloween party, there were black, Spanish, white, every nationality, nobody looked at it as racist. I have video of my high school prom, my high school prom. And a couple of weeks before, they had a Halloween party. And you had people dressed up as Arabs. You had guys dressed up as women. You had whites dressed up as blacks. You had blacks dressed up as, you know, others. You know, it was not looked at that time as racist. Now, obviously in 2022, if I was 13 years old, I would not even dare do it because it offends people. And that is wrong. I would never be like, hey, what do I look like? So the fact that this guy, he was probably shaving his mustache. And got halfway. And the way his hair was, he went to his wife, Kimberly. Hey, honey, what do I look like? The fuck you do that? What are you, stupid? Seriously. In whether this is 2021, 2020, 2019, even if it was 1999, the fuck is this guy, while he's shaving, that he stops? Hey, honey, take a picture. He deserves it. That's stupid. It's stupid. And like I said, there's a lot more to this story that we don't know, that WWE knows. So do not base Nash Carter's release on one moronic photo or the stuff with Kimberly, because there's a lot more going on that we don't know. Now, again, until I see his name removed, until I see that the titles have been stripped, until I see that he has been officially released, I don't know. But one thing is for certain. If you have behavior that is against WWE standards, they will let you go. That's the type of contract you sign. There is a behavior and etiquette. And if you got shit like that out there, you know, WWE could be like, no. And I know that sounds fucked up and everything, but like I said, how do you even if he looked exactly like Hitler, even if he looked exactly like some evil, terrible, you know, killer, dictator, pedophile, you don't like pose for pictures. Be stupid. So look, it's horrible. of what transpired with him. But again, we don't know the full story. I'm not going to throw shade on Kimberly. I'm not going to accuse him of being a wife beater. The only thing that I know for certain is this dope posed as Hitler and thought it was fucking funny. But how, let's also be honest, his wife kept that saved. She didn't keep it saved like, hey, honey, look, Christmas 2020. Look, you remember when you look like Adolf? Hey, keep that too. Saving it for ammunition. Saving it, if our relationship ever goes south, I'm going to release that publicly. What kind of fucking toxic relationship is that? Not a fan. I'm not a fan. So, all right. Let's address a couple other things. What will happen to Wes Lee? That is a good question. That is a good question. We don't know yet. Because we don't know. Listen, if Nash Carter is not fired, but put on suspension till further investigation, which honestly, if you ask me, unless there's a lot more, because look, WWE could have confronted him. Listen, what's going on with your wife? Is any of this true? He could have said to him, look, you know, there's been incidents, you know, we were drinking, this and that, this and that. We don't know what the conversations were. Again, anyone out there that is going to come to a conclusion based on what she released, you can't. That is ignorant. And that's people putting hits, views, and likes in front of trying to, you know, how would any of you like it? If somebody put one picture out there about you or one claim about you, that there is a thousand things more to the story, and then everybody judged you only on that thing, even if you knew it was wrong. It's unfair. You wouldn't want it happen to you. But until I see, you know, more, I can't speak about Wes Lee. But if you ask me, if I was WWE, if what we saw is a majority of what they know, I would put him on, not administrative leave, he's not management, I would suspend him until further investigation and go from there. You could treat it like a Velveteen Dream. To me, this is more of a Velveteen Dream situation than anything else. Velveteen Dream, you know it was not popular because people didn't want to know the truth, but Velveteen Dream, when all those accusations came out, and I talked about this, and nobody wanted to cover it because it made too much sense. WWE, Triple H, WWE, and WWE management sent Velveteen Dream's phone, his SIM card and everything, out to a forensic investigator to pull all of the data, even the stuff that he deleted, to see if there was any evidence that he sent those texts and sent it to minors, and it came back clean. No evidence of bleach bit, no evidence of trying to tamper with the phone. He said, look, I didn't do these things. Here's my phone. Go do what you want with it. And it came back clear. The problem is social media and the wrestling world would not accept that as enough, and WWE was forced to let him go. Nash Carter, to me, is more of a Velveteen Dream situation than an Enzo situation. That's how I look at it. So, NXT, let's stay on this topic a little bit. There's a lot of reports about names rumored to be going to the main roster. And I had so much fun with this yesterday because this is pro wrestling, this is how the sausage is made. With the exception of Nikita Lyons, every name that came out as a rumor to be called up to the main roster, I joked with Mish yesterday, I said, Mish, what do they all have in common, this list? Oh, they all lost. They all lost in the last 7 days. So when you saw Gunther, you saw Imperium, you saw Raquel Gonzalez, you saw Who else was on that list? L.A. Knight. Everybody that was on that list except for Nikita Lyons all lost high-profile matches in the last 7 days. That's how that list came up. Because for those that don't know, that might be newer to this, you know, when you're in developmental, you're in NXT, OVW, wherever it is, you know, you lose on the way out. You give the rub for someone that's still there that needs it. And then you come to the main roster. We have seen a lot of people that will drop a title, lose a high-profile match, and then suddenly they show up the next day. You know, I still remember ECW. I remember Al Snow taking on Shane Douglas for the ECW heavyweight title. And we all knew what was happening because it was in the dirt sheets. It was on the hotlines. I covered it as well. And he lost to Shane Douglas. And after the match was over, now, did anybody think Al Snow was going to become ECW heavyweight champion? No. But the difference is after the match was over, for some reason, the ECW wrestlers felt the need to put Shane Douglas on his shoulders and put Al Snow on his shoulders and then have Al Snow and Shane Douglas shake hands in the middle of the ring right before they went off the air. I don't know if that was Living Dangerously 99. I don't remember which event it was. But you know, for a lot of people that called my hotline at the time, they're like, why are they like putting him on shoulders? Like, okay, Shane Douglas beat Al Snow. You go off the air, blah, 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 blah. Why is it a celebration? Well, wasn't it the next night on Raw that the gates went up slowly in the back and then Al Snow was there with head and everybody went bonkers. So he lost on the way out of ECW. Look at Taz. He lost on the way out of ECW, WWF. You have Public Enemy lost on their way out, go to WCW. So people losing before they go somewhere else, that is normal. So that list that you saw, that was people looking at the results of the last 7 days, the big matches, and said, oh, they want to bring LA Knight to the main roster. No fucking shit. He was doing dark matches. Oh, they're thinking about Gunther. Yeah, and I'm thinking about having pizza tomorrow. Because at the very end, did you see all those articles at the very end? Until WWE actually makes the moves, you just take it as rumor. So I'm going to go on record right now, everyone, and say that WWE's thinking about bringing Bron Breakker to the main roster. Not just yet. They want him to have the belt for a little bit longer. But, you know, until it actually happens, and then what happens? 6 months from now, Bron Breakker goes in the main. See, I fucking told you. I reported it correct. We could do that and play those games all day long. But that's where that list came up. That's where that list came up. They looked at all the high-profile losses the last 7 days, and they said, oh, main roster. The only reason why Nikita Lyons was on that list is because a lot of people think that Nikita Lyons is a lot better than, you know, what is needed in NXT. And she's internet buzz right now, and they think that that could carry over in the main roster. That's why she was on that list. They had Lash Legend on that list. I have nothing against Lash Legend. She doesn't have a wrestling background. She wasn't an indie wrestler. Let's just be honest. She's not good in the ring yet. You bring her to the main roster, that is hit row written all over it. She's going to do a Lash Legend talk segment. It's going to fucking fizzle out within a couple of weeks, and then they will let her go. That's why I don't think Lash Legend, even though people were reporting it, I do not believe that WWE's thinking about putting Lash Legend on the main roster. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. Now, as far as Gunther going to the main roster, I could see that. I could see him in the same camp with Sheamus, Ridge Holland, Butch. I could see that, absolutely. Gunther, I think, would do pretty damn well on the main roster. Jesus, he certainly would. I don't like Fabian Aichner and Marcel Barthel splitting up. That's stupid. They're one of the most underrated tag teams in pro wrestling, period. I don't get the splitting up. That was just awful. That was just awful. That just is mind-boggling. It's funny how nobody wants to criticize Shawn Michaels. Like, what the fuck was that? Why the fuck are you having them split up? Like, nobody, if you notice, nobody, hey, what, Shawn, what the fuck? You're putting Gunther against Braun Breaker. That should have been a pay-per-view match. The fuck is this? Why do you have that? That's what everybody was saying yesterday on social media, but they didn't say it to Shawn Michaels. Because, oh my God, it could be true that maybe it's not always Vince and Bruce Pritchard behind this stuff. Until these people go to the main roster, you take it as rumor. But remember one thing that I've been saying for a couple of years now, that when WWE does decide to go back to developmental with NXT, which they have done, obviously, everybody in NXT, the design, the intention is that they go to the main roster. It's not designed that someone is a lifer in NXT, unless you are a referee, or unless you are a coach, or unless you are just enhancement talent. The reason why you are in NXT is this is the next, what do you think NXT stands for? The next generation of wrestlers. So you had a few former stars that, hey, I don't want to go to the main roster. Well, goodbye. We ain't paying you this kind of money so you could just sit in NXT purgatory for the next 5 years. NXT's developmental. You want to work developmental? That's like somebody that goes to a grocery store that is so good that they can manage the whole store. And they say, I want to pack out groceries. No, but with your talents, you should be managing the store. No, but I want to pack out groceries. Am I going to pay you $25 an hour to pack out groceries? No, I could get a 16-year-old nobody or a 19-year-old with very little experience to give him a gun, the label gun, got to be clear, and just stamp the prices on all the items. We don't need someone with a, background in management. No, but if you want to pack out shelves, no problem, I'm going to pay you $11 an hour. So when you see some of these people that are now gone from NXT and gone from the main roster, not everybody is guilty of it, but some of them were content just being in NXT. And WWE's like, we're not paying them that kind of money to stay in the minor leagues. That's why people have gone. Yeah, Raquel Gonzalez. A lot of rumors about Raquel Gonzalez going to the main roster. That's been talked about for a year. I'd like to see Raquel Gonzalez go to the main roster. Hell, I'd like to see Raquel Gonzalez challenge Bianca Belair. I think that would be interesting. Nobody ever talked about that. Did you hear anybody in the last 24, 48, 72 hours say, hey, why don't we have Raquel Gonzalez versus Bianca Belair? Remember the pose in the ring? All three of them had the belts. I think that would be pretty interesting to see Bianca Belair and Raquel Gonzalez. Not a bad idea, right? What about this other idea I threw out yesterday? We got Edge. We got Damian Priest. We may have Rhea Ripley in this faction as well. And a lot of people are talking about this should be an additional member. Because if Edge is going to be more of a manager, see, that's why it's not like House of Black. Aleister Black, Malakai Black, is not a manager. Edge is going to mentor and help manage and not always have to take the bumps in the ring because he's older. Okay, who would be a good compliment for Damian Priest? You're not going to have intergender matches all the time. I thought about it yesterday. One match that I brought up on Sunday night that I thought would be pretty interesting is AJ Styles and Finn Balor versus Edge and Damian Priest. I don't know if that match is actually happening next week, but I said on Sunday night for WrestleMania Night 2, I'd be pretty banging match, AJ Styles and Finn Balor versus Damian Priest and Edge. Well, I said yesterday, this idea to make it one step further. What do you all think, everybody? What do you all think if we had Finn Balor and AJ Styles versus Damian Priest and Edge, and Finn Balor turns on AJ Styles, and Finn Balor has a different form of the demon and becomes part of the group with Edge and Damian Priest? Would you like to see Finn Balor, even though he's one of the most popular wrestlers on the WWE roster, What do you think about Finn Balor joining up with Damian Priest and Edge and possibly Rhea Ripley as part of that faction? I think that's banging. So you let me know what you think. Right? Heel Balor? Hell yeah. I'm buying on that one. See, that's what I like about these shows. You know, we could, you know, we opine here. We come up with ideas. Not, I want to be first. Oh, I told you this. Oh, I told you that. I mean, it's fun to get things right. But it's fun to get things right because you're a wrestling fan and you want to see those things happen. Not like, oh, I have credibility or anything like that. Now, I said earlier that AEW's rating yesterday was 989, which only went up 10,000 viewers from the prior week, and that's with all the hype of Samoa Joe, plus the matches that were announced as well. Yesterday we had Adam Cole over Christian Cage. Samoa Joe qualifies for the Owen Hart tournament, defeating Max Caster. Sean Dean over Sean Spears. I didn't really care about that. The Hardys over the Butcher and the Blade in the tables match. You know, I enjoyed that match yesterday, but, you know, I don't know how many more of those matches Jeff Hardy has in him. And, you know, one thing, this is an impression that I get also. I don't blame a lot of you out there to actually admit this, but I wonder how many of you truly feel that when you see what you see on TV and the wrestlers you see on TV and how they're being used on TV, does it come off to you that this is Tony Khan's fantasy of the having the Hardys from 10 years ago or having this Ring of Honor vibe? And because he loves this and he fawns over it, that you should all fawn over it as well. Because I said probably, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but one of the biggest differences between Vince McMahon and Tony Khan is that Tony Khan's fandomhood for the certain wrestlers is what is presented on TV. And Vince McMahon, what is presented on TV is what he feels the fans would like, not actually what he likes. Follow where I'm going with that? So I don't know if you feel that way, but I kind of see that. Hikaru Shida over Julia Hart. Julia Hart's lucky she didn't break her neck. I don't know if you saw that top rope move that she did, and she landed, her neck landed literally on Shida's shoulder. That looks scary. I mean, I understand a lot of, you know, younger wrestlers want to do the insane high-flying spots. And then, you know, you see it, you're like, oh, my God. You know, some people, they got to learn the psychology a little bit better. You got awesome psychology down. You don't have to do that shit. That's why I enjoyed CM Punk versus Dax a couple of weeks ago, because they did so much 80s wrestling style and everybody still loved it. Because if you could have that connection with the fans and you could get the psychological connection also, you know, you can be a heel and you could torment and you could taunt and you could do ground shit and everybody still loves it. So FTR over the Young Bucks, no surprise there. There was no way FTR was losing the AAA titles and the Ring of Honor titles. And I ask you this, honestly, post it in the comment section. I'm really curious how you all feel about this. You know, do you feel that suddenly there is way too many title belts being shown on AEW television? That now you got not only the AAA titles being shown. Now, look, I saw an advertisement for Rampage tomorrow. I think it's Wheeler Yuta versus Jon Moxley. And they're showing Wheeler Yuta with a Ring of Honor title. And sure, look, anybody that holds a title, it makes the perception of their value and their abilities that much more because they're a champion. But how do you all feel about all of these outside belts? Even if Tony Khan does own those, you know, the Ring of Honor promotion, how do you feel about all of these titles being shown on the TV screen? That's an awful lot of titles to be shown. So NXT on Tuesday, the Creed brothers over Imperium, and then we have Pretty Deadly revealed as you know, the team that's been screwing with the Creed brothers. I like that. Dexter Lumis over Duke Hudson went to a double count out. Crap match there. Toxic Attraction, 2 days later, they regained the tag titles off of Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Nikita Lyons over Last Legend. I tell you, I actually thought that that was Last Legend's best match yet, but she still has a gigantic long way to go. And Braun Breaker over Gunther to retain the NXT championship. And after the match was over, they showed Joe Gacy and Harlan. They kidnapped Rick Steiner. They had him in a cage. So now we're going to get Joe Gacy versus Braun Breaker. Listen, man, I'm not comparing 80s WWF to NXT. Please do not take literally what I'm saying here. But back when Hogan was champion, every month there was a different opponent. Sergeant Slaughter, Mass Superstar, King Kong Bundy, Big John Studd, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Yes, I am Mike Sharp. Ivan Koloff, you could. They had lower card people feuding with Hogan. So they're going a little bit old school with Braun Breaker. Okay, it's this person, then it's Dolph, now it's Gunther, now it's Joe Gacy, now it's Solo Sikoa, now it's this. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. For people that are losing their lunch, why are they giving us Gunther so early? Why are they already giving us Solo Sikoa? Why are they already giving us? Because that's what you do. They're running a promotion. We tweet and talk. There's a big difference here, you know? I like Joe Gacy. I am a big fan of Joe Gacy. I just don't think he needs to do those Tajiri-type moves. You don't need to flip upside down. Nobody wants to see that. He loses no, you know, maybe he finds it cool. Hey, look, everybody, look what I could do. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. So, yeah, Nikita Lyons is good. She's good. She will be on the main roster. I just wouldn't rush it. You know, one thing that a lot of people need to think about, Raquel Gonzalez is a little different because she can go toe-to-toe with a lot of the main roster. You know that already. But, okay, you put Nikita Lyons on the main roster. How is she going to leapfrog like seven women? I mean, we could come up with seven women from Bianca to Becky to Charlotte to Ronda to Rhea, and, you know, and a few others. You think Nikita Lyons is somehow going to break through from there and get any type of momentum? Does anybody truly believe any of the names I just said are going to lose to Nikita Lyons? What do you want to see her fight Dana Brooke every week? So even though we would love to see some people go to the main roster, you know, you got to think one step ahead. Okay, now what? Now what? Mike is saying about LA Knight, the rumors of them managing. I believe when I see it. I believe when I see it. LA Knight, you know, look, you know, when Mr. Perfect was managing, it was different because it was injury also. LA Knight obviously could still go. And even if LA Knight came up as a manager, who's he going to manage? Seriously. You look at Joe Gacy. Look at Joe Gacy. Technically, doesn't Joe Gacy manage Holland? Would you all say that Joe Gacy manages Holland? Does anybody bitch that Joe Gacy manages Holland? No. Because Joe Gacy still wrestles. So before everybody loses their, you know what, about LA Knight and the rumors going around, you know, some people love these rumors because it's a catchy title to check out their blogs, their articles, their podcasts. Until LA Knight is a manager, you know, check out my protege. Yeah. You know, until I see that crap on Raw or SmackDown, let's pull it back a little bit. We don't know. James Campbell, with the main roster tag division being thin, can we see WWE unifying the belts with the Usos and the RKO feud the bloodline? No. Look, see Roman still coming out with two titles. Raw and SmackDown are airing on the USA Network and Fox. Each one likes that they have their own champions. WWE had the Usos on Raw to get some added viewers, added attention. It's WrestleMania season. Excuse me. Was that a hiccup? I was like, it's WrestleMania season. You know, I saw people complaining. Oh, we're having a roster split. Why are the Usos on Raw? Why are you complaining? The Usos are great. Yeah. Put them against RK-Bro. Yeah. What do you want to see against Alpha Academy for the fifth week in a row? I don't understand why people complain. But no, you don't unify the titles. No, no, no. You unify those titles when you do get another tag team that is popular and is on momentum. You have one last tag titles to obtain. You think Alpha Academy would have had those belts, right? The Usos, listen, if they would have unified those belts, let's say 6 months ago, do you think the Usos would have lost those belts? Or do you think RKO would have lost those belts 6 months ago? RK-Bro would have lost those belts. So, okay, you have only one tag team titles 6 months ago. Now Alpha Academy catches fire. Shush! Would they have broken through and become champs? No. No. They wouldn't have won the belts. Don't take the titles away. Just do a better job with them. Because I loved that Alpha Academy became tag champs. I loved it. It felt finally Chad Gable is getting some recognition for what we all saw for years. So yeah, you keep some of those belts available. Absolutely. No, you don't unify them. By the way, for everybody in the chat, for our channel members, if you have a question, just write the word question or capital Q before it so it stands out a little bit better and I can answer them quickly. Because I think we got into all the time. Programming note. I know a lot of you out there thought that I was going to have Joe Cronin on tonight. That is still happening. We decided to hold off till next Thursday. And the reason why we're holding off till next Thursday is because tomorrow is the first SmackDown after WrestleMania. And who knows, maybe WWE saves face after that very disappointing Raw. Maybe we will have a kick-ass SmackDown tomorrow. So we wanted to get SmackDown in the bag. And then this way, next Thursday, you know, we could talk about SmackDown too. If we would have done it tonight, there's so many unknowns about tomorrow. Somebody could be making a debut. Somebody could be jumping from NXT. Somebody could make a challenge for the title. There could be another title match that we're not aware of. There's so many things that could go down tomorrow. And we think we would have more fun maybe being able to talk about that. So we are doing it next Thursday. As far as the time, it's either going to be 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. I want to accommodate Joe's schedule. And I think next week he's doing some stuff early. So either 9 or 10, I will keep you all posted. And I will post a thread in the community section for anybody out there that wants to submit a question, and we will take the best ones and we will answer them next week, just like we did with Jason when I had Jason on. Harris, last Friday marked 20 years since the first ever brand split show, which was April 1st, 2002. What would I have changed with the original brand split if we had the power? No, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't have changed anything. You know, there's always trial and error. You know, you always do something that you never did before. You know, there's always improvement. Hell, when they did the Fox and USA Network thing with the robot and all that stuff, you know, you look back on it, you could have changed this, tweaked that. I wouldn't have had some of these athletes all commenting about it. It looked goofy because you knew half of them didn't give a shit about wrestling. So no, I wouldn't have changed anything. We should be able to look back at an earlier time and it feel inferior. You always want to feel that wrestling is progressing and getting better and innovating and expanding. So yeah, you don't want to look back at that and say, man, that was incredible. That was unbelievable, awesome, and now it sucks. You know, so I wouldn't have changed anything. James is asking, who could challenge both tag champs next? No idea. We don't know we got to get through SmackDown. I said this a couple of days too. We got to get through SmackDown because who knows? Who knows? We could have a makeshift tag team debut. We could have somebody come up from NXT. We could have a swerve. You know, I don't know. I mean, RK-Bro, it's not broke right now. Don't fix it. I mean, if you look at the tag team division on Raw, there's only a couple of tag teams to choose from. Who knows? If Finn Balor turns heel and joins up with Edge, I'd have Damian Priest and Finn Balor go against RK-Bro. See why it's too early to really get to that point? Because there's seeds being planted right now. And who knows? Maybe Edge and Damian Priest become a tag team. I'd have Edge and Damian Priest. Look at the history with Edge and Randy Orton. So you put Edge and Damian Priest versus RK-Bro? I think people would buy. So it's a little too early. But, yeah, I just gave you two teams. One team hasn't formed yet, and the other two have not even had a chance to have a match yet. VJ's asking who had a better pose, Imperium and Nation of Domination. Imperium... You know, I hated Imperium when they first came up because I didn't have any connection to them, but I see now how incredible they are in the ring. And, you know, they look intimidating. They're very international. So when they do their pose, Nation of Domination, though, it just felt like, you know, it was just different. It was different. Nation of Domination was awesome, man. It was awesome. Let's see. Cody is on Raw. That's not changing. Cody could feud with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is now the champion of both brands. So Roman Reigns could very well have a feud. And if it sets, remember, WrestleMania Backlash is only in a couple of weeks. So if Roman Reigns, let's say, takes on Cody Rhodes, just saying, I'm not... Doesn't mean Cody Rhodes can't show up on SmackDown. You know, if Roman Reigns is going to be on SmackDown, Cody Rhodes could be showing up too to go after Roman. Right now, Cody is a Raw wrestler. That's not changing. You know who's scheduled for SmackDown tomorrow? I'll believe it when I see it. Lacey Evans. I like Lacey Evans. But that feud... that she had with Corbin versus Becky and Seth is one of the worst feuds in the last 20 years of me being a wrestling fan. I hated it so much, and I like Lacey Evans's background. She's got an awesome background in the military, and that should be celebrated and appreciated. But I don't know, when you look at SmackDown, I can't see Lacey Evans coming in as a heel. Sure, she could get squashed by Ronda Rousey, but they could also decide to have Lacey Evans go up against Charlotte. So I'm not sure how I feel about Lacey Evans back on TV. You know, I mean, it's, look, she could go, but I don't know, man. It just feels like something is being interrupted. You know, it's, I don't know if it was the right time to die. Put it this way, she shows up, that's not going to be like a SmackDown or Raw after WrestleMania moment. Oh, you remember when Lacey Evans made a return? Yeah, not really. So, Rams fan, would I have Cody versus Seth at WrestleMania Backlash? No. And the only reason why I say that is because I don't think Cody Rhodes should lose. And I don't know if Seth Rollins should lose two matches in a row. I said on Sunday that I think Cody Rhodes' first opponent should be Kevin Owens. And Monday after Raw went off the air, guess who he fought? Kevin Owens. I would like to see Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens at WrestleMania Backlash. I think they could do something where Kevin Owens confronts Cody Rhodes, something related to Seth Rollins. And I'd like to see Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens at WrestleMania Backlash. So, is Reggie an example of how flippy AEW wrestlers look? I'll say this once. I know AEW fans are mad right now. Don't be mad, because I am going to defend you. As much as sometimes AEW does way too much flip, meaningless flipping, meaningless. I do not put Reggie. I wouldn't even put Reggie on an indie show. Seriously, if I had an indie promotion, I wouldn't even put Reggie on it. It's nothing personal against Reggie. But Reggie is, he's an attraction. He is like the comedy fodder, F-O-D-D-E-R, not will you be my father? No, he is comedy for the kids. It's cutesy, it's lighthearted stuff. But believe me, I tell you, it's nothing against Reggie. When Reggie's WWE career is over, I think his pro wrestling career will almost be over as well. Could you, do you honestly, would you ever picture it? Let's say if Don West, because I can't do like any of the commentators in Impact right now, but let's say Don West was still commentating on Impact. Could you picture tuning in Thursday night? Oh my God, it's Reggie. Look, everybody, it's Reggie. I don't see Reggie in the Impact Zone. I don't see Reggie showing up in AEW. Seriously. What's he going to do? You know? Just imagine Reggie showing up in AEW and trying to jump on that contraption to get in the ring. You'd have probably 35 AEW wrestlers to be like, hey, you like that? Wait till you see this. And then they jump off a building. You know? I think Reggie knows that when his WWE career is over, most of his pro wrestling career will be over too. Yes. Barry Bonds. Look at Barry Bonds. I hope Don West is okay. You know, his cancer returned. We haven't heard much. And I'm concerned about Don West in 2022. I really am. Seriously. I disliked that guy so much before he became an Impact commentator. Now I freaking big fan of his. And it's sad to see what he's going through. So I wish him the best. Yeah, KO could fight Ezekiel. I'm telling you all, I know WWE's reputation of horrendous stuff. Don't sell out yet. Don't sell your stock yet on Ezekiel. For some reason, it clicks for me. I said this, I don't know if I said it on Monday. I might have said it on Monday. I said, I could picture him coming out there and say, look, I'm not Elias. And he takes a guitar and he intentionally fucks it up. He's like, look, I don't know how to play the guitar. I could see him singing and intentionally sounding awful. I think there's going to be so much comedy with Ezekiel. And who knows? Maybe we'll find out later on that there was some tragic accident. He got hit on the head and he thinks he's Ezekiel, and it'll get hit on the head again and he'll suddenly become Elias. I'm telling you, I know they shaved his beard, they gave him trunks and everything, but what else are you going to do? He burned all his stuff in a cemetery or wherever he burned it. Like, if he just shows up, imagine this past Monday. Imagine Ezekiel just shows up as Elias. Hello, everyone. I am Elias. You'd have every person on the net saying, what the fuck happened to the storyline? Look at WWE, the fucking horrible booking. They brought him back like he was. Same old shit. Elias, Ezekiel would not have been able to win Monday, regardless. No matter which way he would have came back, people would have complained. So I like to laugh. I like to laugh in wrestling. As long as it's not to embarrass pro wrestling. If Elias tries to convince everyone that he is not Elias, you know, not on the level of Mr. America with Hulk Hogan, not on the level of the Midnight Rider and Dusty Rhodes, not on the level of Ravishing Rick Rude when he had the mask in ECW, but if he could, in comedy, try to convince us that he's not Elias, come on, I think that's going to be funny. I think it's going to be hilarious. Don't, even if people are crapping all over this, give it some time. Yeah, maybe Elias, down the line, looks back on this and says, they fucked me up. But we might look back on this and say this is some of the funniest shit that Elias has ever done. So give it time. I have a feeling it's going to be good. I really do. I have a feeling it's going to be good. All right, we're going to start bringing this home soon. And shout out to for all our channel members that are in the chat. Look, for everybody tuning in that can't access the chat, I'm not trying to pull a money grab. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel like you have to become a channel member. But the thing is that because we do have channel members here, I do feel they should get something that, you know, for a little bit extra for being a channel member. And I think, you know, look, Thursday for about 3 months, the Q&A live stream was only streaming for channel members. So we thought about making it available for everyone, but they are the ones that get to submit questions. So Mondays, Saturdays, Sundays, you could always ask questions, but I don't want anybody to feel left out. It's just, it's a nice little balance. And I love the fact that everybody can hang out tonight, even if you're not, you know, a channel member. But like I said, that's the only reason why we're doing this. So don't forget Saturday, Don Tony Show. We have a ton of shit to talk about. So, near a little more serious question. When bad shit happens in the world, how do I stay in a good mood? Because I realize, yeah, Rams fan, 90 minutes goes fast. When you're having fun, it goes super fast. Look, I don't follow politics much anymore. I keep aware. I realize that I get sick to my, look, very quickly for everybody out there. I went out to eat on Tuesday, my fiance's birthday. We went to a restaurant and, the owner asked how we were doing and everything. And my fiance said that she's now working in the city again 2 days a week, blah, 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 blah. And somehow gas prices were brought up. And next thing you know, this owner is like really, really pissed off about Biden. He's like, I don't fucking understand it. We could use gasoline from the United States. Why are we paying $5 a gallon? Why can't we use it? And he's like, can't wait for this guy. And when the conversation was over, I think the owner was going to either smash his head through a wall or cry. And my attitude is like, you smash your head, you complain, you bitch, you cry, you go on social media, you freak out, you get angry, you this and that. Is it changing anything? No. So I just try to focus on what makes me laugh. All right. You want to give me fucking bullshit in politics? No problem. I'll laugh at Ezekiel, you know. I keep myself aware. I don't drive as much as I did before because of $5 gas, but I'm not going to get myself down, you know, because getting yourself down is not going to change anything. You know, I tell people all the time, you're sick, you got cancer, you know, somebody, a family member is very, very ill. You got a pet that's, I've gone through all of it. I've had everything happen, including me. And I realized to myself, I'm not going to sit here and smile and laugh and like, look, everybody, my mom is about to die. No, but the thing is that I've realized that if you get sick to your stomach, you get angry, you get bitter, you get frustrated, guess what? It ain't going to cure you. It ain't going to cure anyone else. If anything, you try to be uplifting for everyone else around you. You know, come on, Dad, let's go outside for a little while. Let's do this. You know, don't worry about that. You know, try to focus on something else. You know, sometimes it's unavoidable and it's easier said than done. But I realize that there's only so much that I can control. So if I could maybe allow all of you to get your mind off of all this horrible shit going on in the world, you know, then good, you know. But you always got to keep aware. But I always feel, look at the better stuff, you know, because getting all sick and down, I know it's a popular thing, you know, for others to just bitch, complain about everything. And you know, everybody wants to just scream and curse in the wind. But at the end of the day, what are you left with? You're just angry. I like going to sleep in a good mood. I like waking up in a good mood. You know, that's why. Does positive thoughts lead to positive outcomes? Not always. Not always. I have been positive about so many things. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to land this. Oh, I'm going to get this. Oh, this is going to happen. And then I'm like, the fuck was I thinking? Are you nuts? Like, I'm convinced. yeah, you can't. You could be hopeful, but you also got to be realistic. Yeah, that's one. Hey, I'll give you a good example. I tried to go to get Twitter verified a while back. I got 20 plus years history online. I mean, if anybody's been around for a while, you know my history. You know all the stuff I've done outside of wrestling, all the other stuff I've done, period. And I applied a while back, and I put link after link after link, going back 20 years, 15 years, 10 years. But because I don't have blogs on big websites over the last 6 months, they tell me no. I have so many people telling me now, why aren't you verified? Why don't you get verified? Fuck that shit. Why do you think everybody's got an article now? Oh, Bron Breakker is at the peak of his game. No, he's not. He's developing well, but everybody writes an article, writes a blog. Why do you think they do that? Because they get three or four of those articles together. Why do you think that they jump on, you know, I don't want to name any specific websites. Why do you think some of these websites have 95 authors on it? Because everybody writes a couple of articles. They write some of the most pointless shit, but because it's a website with a blue check mark, they get enough together and they go to Twitter and say, hey, look, I'm featured here. I'm featured here. I'm featured on Forbes. Look, I'm from Forbes. You haven't clicked the profiles of some of these authors on Forbes? Some of them are not even old enough to grow pubic hair yet. I'm a wrestling fan. Look, I wrote about Becky. And they're fucking verified. It's a joke. It's a joke. But I was convinced. I was convinced when I applied. I'm like, eh. I got 25 years. At that time, I had 20. And I put all these things from the Conan drive to, you know, all the other stuff I did and everything like that, running this stuff. And they come back and they said, give us stuff for the last 3 months. I don't write. I talk. What do you want me to give you? No, you're not famous enough. Blow me. Blow me. So that's my Twitter stuff. Twitter will never verify me. And honestly, I don't think I will ever apply again. Seriously. That's why you don't see me writing articles. I've had people approach me. Hey, DT, why don't you write an article on the site? Why don't you write a blog? You know, why don't you just put this in words? I'm like, I don't want to sit and type. I'll talk. How's about I talk and you type it for me? And then I hit send and there's my article. You know, I could probably pay somebody on Fiverr to do that. That's not a bad idea. I go on Forbes, everyone. I go on Sportskeeda, Fightful, Sports Illustrated, and I'll just talk for 10 minutes. And I go on Fiverr and I pay some guy in India for $10. Like, hey, type this up for me and use good grammar, please. And then they give me the article here. How is it? You like? Yes, I like. $20 tip. Submit it. Look, I wrote an article. Seriously? Oh, yeah. As long as you all like what we do here, it's all that matters. It's all that ever mattered. I don't care that I'm not in the cool kids club on social media. You see that. You know, I've had people, and look, I'm a douchebag too. I admit I'm a douchebag. But I try to be a little bit more reasonable. Like, I try to be more common sense about things, you know. All right, let's start bringing this home. Let's wrap this up in 6 minutes. We're at an hour and 34. I think an hour and 40 is fair for tonight. Oh, this goes out to everyone out there. Johnny D is a loyal supporter of what I do. He lives in Dallas, Texas. He went to WrestleMania. I'm trying to convince him to sell me his two chairs from WrestleMania. The WrestleMania chair with Kevin Owens and Steve Austin and the other one with Brock and Roman Reigns. He doesn't want to sell them. But what he did for me is he is sending me unused. He bought it from the souvenir stand. He is sending me the commemorative cup from WrestleMania 38. He's also sending me his hotel key for night two and his hotel key for night one. Those are the actual hotel keys. And he is sending them to me. And we are going to be giving them away in about a week or so. He's sending me a few other things as well. I have no idea what he's sending me, but we're going to give away a commemorative cup from WrestleMania. He's sending me the actual hotel keys. Those got to be worth something. To actually have the actual hotel keys for night one and night two, those are pretty cool. I checked eBay. I'm like, gee, maybe I could sell these. I would never sell it. Anybody ever sends me gifts here to give away, I don't sell them. I give them away. Plus, I got about 100 autographed photos that we got to start giving away. You know, a lot of women wrestlers in WWE, I have gotten nothing from AEW. I sent a letter a while back, hey, you know, if you could send a couple of photos, you know, I'd give away as gifts, nothing. WWE sent me crazy amounts of Liv Morgan, Mandy Rose, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch. I think there's a couple of Edge photos in there that are pretty cool. I got some from John Cena that someone else hooked me up with as the peacemaker, whatever he is. So we're going to start giving those away. But when I get the WrestleMania stuff, someone else promised me a brand new WrestleMania program, but I haven't heard back from him yet. So if he sends me the WrestleMania program too, then maybe we'll do a contest and we'll give one person the cup, the hotel passes, and the program. If I ever get those chairs, I know the WWE shop is selling them $150 a piece. The problem is they're not going to be shipped out until the middle of May, which is only a month from now. But not only that, you know, it gets a little scary when you give it away as a prize, because I gave away a signed chair on Patreon about 3 years ago. And I don't remember where I shipped it. I don't know if it was Australia or United. I spent $90 to ship it. And I don't care all that much, but, you know, I don't ever want to restrict the prize. I know there's a lot of places out there, oh, you want to be in a contest, but U.S. only. No, you tune into my stuff, you're eligible. But it might not be that easy to give away those chairs in a contest, and then you cost $100 to ship it. So, you know, I mean, let's be honest. The Patreon that I have, there's like 1/4 the people that it had even like a couple of years ago. Everybody has a Patreon now, and everybody rotates, you know. So you know, those pages really are dying, you know. So, you know, getting income, and I hope you all could join me tomorrow for the watch party. You know, it's this first SmackDown after WrestleMania. We're doing a watch party tomorrow night. NXT this Tuesday, I really couldn't be around because of my fiance's birthday, but tomorrow the watch party is going to be awesome. And if you are a channel member or a Patreon, you already have the link. But anyone else out there that's seeing this, if you want to be part of the watch party tomorrow, either DM me on Twitter, at DonTonyD, or email me, DonTony@DonTony.com. I will send you an invite. It costs nothing. So we're going to have a banger of a watch party tomorrow. And who knows, maybe I'll do a contest while we're live. It's not a bad idea. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up. We got in enough topics, I think. A lot of fun Q&A as well. And look, tomorrow I'll be around for the watch party. We'll do SmackDown first, and then I'm going to do Rampage afterwards. You do not have to be part of both. You could be one or the other. If it's up, totally up to you. But the SmackDown one intrigues me because I'm expecting some big surprises. So we'll see what happens. If you enjoyed tonight's show, I'd appreciate it if you take a moment and hit that like button on the way out. It does help more than you know. If you're not a subscriber, welcome to subscribe if you like the channel. Look around. You know, every day has a different theme. Mondays is mostly Raw and any weekend news. I don't know what I'm going to do yet about next Wednesday. You know, yesterday we had the Patreon show that we usually do on Tuesday. And we didn't do a watch-along of AEW, but we were commenting as things happened at times during the show. It actually came off pretty good yesterday. So I'm not sure how we're going to handle next week. You know, it really what it comes down to is, do we really need to cover AEW as soon as it goes off the air, or do we build on it and talk about it more on Thursday? So that is something that I have to think about. And then I will definitely let you know a few days in advance. But one thing is for certain, Monday is not changing, Saturday is not changing, Thursday is not changing, and Sunday is not changing. Really, the only question is Tuesday and Wednesday right now. So believe me, going to sleep at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesday night was something that I have not witnessed in a very long time. And it felt weird to get up at like 7 in the morning, like, hey, I feel good. So, all right, everyone, have a good night. Thank you, as always, for the support. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Post your comments in the comment section about what we talked about. I'd love your input. And I know everyone else out there likes to read everyone's input and reactions as well. So you all be well, stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.